Praise the Lord. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. We want to begin a new study this morning. It might only take a week or two, but then you never know. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3, story of the burning bush, one of the most well-known, probably well-preached on passages in the Bible. Let's read it through. It says in verse 1, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert, came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring out the people of the Israelites out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.' Moses said to God, 'Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you.'" Praise the Lord. Verse 1, Moses is tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Just another day in a long series of days in Moses' life. There was nothing remarkable about this day. Nothing to suggest that this day would be any different from the other days, because Moses had been tending the flock for a long, long time. I guess that he had a routine. He knew where he was going. He knew what to do. He knew what to expect. And yet this was going to be a day like no other day in the life of Moses, but he had no inkling of that. There was no anticipation in him. There wasn't even any faith there. He was on the run. He daren't go anywhere near Egypt. He'd killed an Egyptian and left on the run in fear of his life. As far as Moses was concerned, Egypt was dead and gone, finished, something in his past history. A place that he would never see again. He wasn't thinking in terms of going back to Egypt. He was thinking in terms of spending the rest of his days tending Jethro's flock in the desert. And so often, even as the people of God, as Christian believers, as individuals before the Father, we get into a routine of life where we think that this is the way it's always going to be. It's never going to be any different to this. Listen, God can break in your life at any time. We've already heard testimony from Abby this morning how after many years of praying and asking that suddenly God broke through, hallelujah, in her life. And that's what God is well able to do without warning, and suddenly God can break through in our lives and answer the cry of our heart, or even do something that we were totally not expecting. Something totally unexpected could happen in our lives as God comes and changes our circumstances. That day at work all those years ago, 1988, when I was 28 years old, I wasn't expecting God to walk into my laboratory that day and change my life forever, but he did. I wasn't expecting that. Amen. That came out of the blue, literally. I had some kind of a feeling that maybe one day, that in some distant future, maybe I would go into some kind of ministry. I mean, but I had no idea that day, when I was just sat there at my desk in the lab with a test going on the bench, and suddenly God spoke to me. It was like God just came and walked into the room, and there was no ignoring it. There was no getting away from it. There was no trying to put it down to, indigestion from last night's supper or whatever. God came in and spoke to me directly, as it was with Moses and God in the future, as a man speaks face to face with God. And I heard the words of God. And what do? You can't ignore that, can you? And that resulted in me, within a week of handing in my notice and within a month of leaving the company with no fixed income, no house to live in apart from moving in with Christine's mum. And that began the phase of 8 years then of traveling and preaching and going and being and doing into Romania, into the Philippine Islands, into different places, all over Eastern Europe with Louis Palau, and then we came here in 96, hallelujah. Again, God changed the day. And God is able to do that because that's his prerogative, amen. You might think that you're settled in your place. You might think that you're settled in your career. You might be thinking that you're settled in your home, that you're settled in this town. But God has a way of changing things, amen, when we least expect it. And I didn't expect God to speak to me that day, but I'm so glad that he did. Hallelujah. I don't know why he chose me. I wouldn't have chosen me, but God did. Amen. I wouldn't have picked me, but God did. God saw something in me that I didn't see. And God sees things in us that we don't see, and even that other people around us don't see, although they tend to be more perceptive than we are. Hallelujah. And God broke through in my life, and I know that in lives in this room, God has broken through suddenly and without warning. God does something that completely changes the direction of our life. Things that are extraordinary. And this day in the life of Moses that began so ordinarily suddenly turned very extraordinary, and Moses was shaken to the core, and the whole direction and path of his life was changed within a 5-minute conversation with God. Amen. A 5-minute conversation. I mean, how long did it take us to read that passage of scripture? And Moses' life was completely and utterly changed. But one thing is true of this. Moses was doing what he knew to do. Amen. And that's all we can do, isn't it? Is we can do what we know to do. We can be faithful in doing what we know we should do. We've just spent a couple of months since before Christmas looking at those scriptures concerning what God wants us to do from the scriptures. Amen. We've looked at the things that are written in the Bible that God wants his people to do. And so when we're found doing those things faithfully, we position ourselves for God's intervention. Amen. I've had people try to speak into my life over the years. They come with prophecies, they come with words, and when you look at their own lives are mixed up, messed up. And they're not doing what God has told them to do. And if somebody comes to me with a mixed up, messed up life, who I know is not doing what God has told them to do, don't try and speak to me. Hallelujah. Don't try and speak into my life. But if I see somebody who's coming and I know that they're right with God, that they're walking with God to the best of their ability, that they're in communion with God, and that God has given them a gift and a call, then those are the kind of people I want to listen to, amen? They're the kind of people that I want to, when they start to speak, I open my ears and I say, amen, Lord, speak to me, hallelujah. I've said before that some of the prophecies that's been spoken over me, you'd have to cut me up in 100 pieces and post me out all over the world. I don't know. I know I've been to a lot of places, but not as many places as has been. Maybe some of these things will come to pass in the future, I don't know. But as I'm getting older, the chances that I get less, not more. Praise the Lord. But God is a God who is able to break through if we're faithfully doing what he wants us to do. Now, we've already been encouraged this morning by both Benga and Abby to be doing what we should be doing. Mothers, fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. Amen. We all have responsibilities to build the home, to be part of the family, to be for the men to be priests in your house. Hallelujah. For the ladies to be that. Well, read it. Psalm 31. Take it away and read it. Amen. If you don't know what you're supposed to be as a wife or a mother, take that psalm and read it. And read it and read it until you get it. Hallelujah. This is what God wants. This is God's purpose. This is God's plan. Amen. And God will help us in that. We've heard that from Stephen already this morning, that no matter what our circumstances are, God will help us. If we are in the will of God, if we find ourselves in the purposes of God, even if it's in a difficult place, God will help us. God is going to come alongside, and he will bring people alongside us who will mutually encourage us. Hallelujah. That's what the fellowship of the saints is all about. And so here is this man, Moses, who's on the run. He's got a death sentence waiting for him if he ever crosses the border back into Egypt. But he's doing what he knows to do. He's doing faithfully the everyday things of life, and suddenly God breaks through. And I think I've proved, and I know that some of you have proved over the years, that if we are consistently doing what we know to do, we open ourselves up for the place of blessing. Amen. We open ourselves up. I remember many years ago, and Tolu reminded me of him last Sunday, Pastor Billy from Nigeria preached here about an open heaven. Remember that? Some of you weren't here in those days. But he preached about living under an open heaven. And how do we live under an open heaven? By doing what God wants us to do. By positioning ourselves in the place of doing what we know God wants from us. By being a Christian, a real Christian, amen? Not just a Sunday Christian, not a part-time Christian, but by being a committed Christian and reading the scriptures and taking them and applying them to our own heart and life and doing what God says. And when we do that, we are then positioned for blessing. We're positioned for God to speak. We're positioned for God to move. We're positioned for God to change. Hallelujah. Don't rely on the prayers of somebody else. It's easy, isn't it, to get folks praying for you. And I want you to pray like you've never prayed before for us while we're in Romania this time. But sometimes we have to just go to God ourselves and say, Lord, here I am. Don't be afraid to pray for yourself. Amen. It's not selfish. God wants to hear from you. Heaven wants to hear from you. And as you ask, you are positioning yourself to receive. James says that we have not because we ask not. Amen. But if we come and we ask, it's like holding our hands out to our Heavenly Father and saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Don't forget me. Lord, as I'm praying for others, as you're blessing others, as you're moving in other people's lives, don't forget me. I guess Moses must have, at times, he must have really felt like forgotten as he's trudging through the desert leading those sheep. Here's the prince of Egypt. Was. Boy, how things had fallen rapidly for Moses. Moses' star was on the rise, and then suddenly it was extinguished. And how the mighty have fallen, the Bible says. When Moses had tried to do it his own way, he ended up on the run. No hope of ever even seeing his own people, the Hebrews, again. But God has a way of bringing us round, amen. Sometimes when we don't get it right the first time, God lets us carry on for a while until we've learned the lesson, amen? And then he brings us back again. And he says, now let's do this again. Well, this time we'll do it my way, amen? Not your way, we'll do it my way. God says, let's do it my way this time. And God is very patient, thank you, Lord, because we all blow it so frequently, don't we? God is very patient, and he brings us back again to that place, back to that burning bush, back to that promise, back to that thing that we've received in our spirits from him. And he says, right, let's do it again now. I hope you've learned the lessons. Now let's do it right this time. Do it my way. And that's the case. That's how it was for Moses. God had given him this promise. He tried to do it his way. He failed miserably. He ends up on the run for his life with a dead Egyptian buried in the sand. Did he think he was going to take on the whole army of Pharaoh? What was he thinking when he killed that Egyptian? What was going through his mind? But apart from earthly rage and a sense of injustice, it's good to have a sense of injustice, but it's also good to realize that of ourselves we can do nothing. Amen? Nothing. But with the Lord, amen, with the Lord, 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000. Amen. We can't do a thing without him, but with him all things become possible. And Moses had tried to do it himself and failed, but now God has brought him back again. After tending the sheep in the desert, and God dealing with Moses in his spirit until he'd gotten Egypt out of him, till Moses was no more the prince of Egypt, the mighty man, the warrior. Now Moses was just a shepherd who every morning led the sheep out into the desert. Amen. What a difference. And the Bible says of Moses that he was the meekest man on earth. He wasn't when he left Egypt, was he? He was an angry young man. But by the time God was ready to use him again, he'd become meek. Not weak. Amen. He wasn't weak, but he was meek. And meekness, if you've, those of you who've got the daily notes, the daily bread, will have read this morning in the daily bread that there's such a difference between meekness and weakness. Amen. Weakness is an inability to do something, spinelessness. But meekness is just saying, Lord, we do it your way, not my way. Amen. We commit it to the Lord and we do it his way. We trust the Lord to do it his way, not trying to do it in our own flesh. And Moses had learned to be meek. Having been so angry, he now was so meek, but not weak. Hallelujah. So, let's carry on. What do we see with God? Let's go down to verse 7. Verse 6, Joseph and all his brothers. No, sorry, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Okay, no, we'll back up here a little. Verse 4, when the Lord had saw that he had gone over to look, this is the burning bush now, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. You see, we have to be listening for the voice of God. From what I can gather and understand, and I have to take this as read, that a burning bush was not an unusual sight in the desert. Because it was hot and dry and brittle. There were times when bushes burnt and grass fires started. So this was not necessarily that much of an unusual sight. What was unusual was that this bush continued to burn, amen? That it continued to blaze. And that got Moses' attention. And he thought, why is that bush burning but not burning out? Why does it seem to get brighter, not fainter? Because if you've ever seen the film of a forest fire, trees burn in seconds, don't they? The foliage just goes and they're gone. And here's Moses. Why is that bush continuing to burn? And through that, God got his attention. And God will use circumstances and situations to get our attention if we're not listening. Perhaps he'll bring us up to a sudden halt in life and something will happen and God will just use a circumstance or a situation to bring our attention back to him. Hallelujah. Suddenly, out of nowhere, something happens and we suddenly realize, okay, Lord, you're trying to speak to me. There's something to say to me. And so as Moses kind of edges closer towards this bush, suddenly he hears the voice of God coming from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses is, oh, here I am. I can just imagine him kind of, you know, looking from under his cloak at this sight. And he's thinking, now the bush is talking to me. Been a long time since Moses had heard the voice of God. He was out of practice, amen? A long, long time, and he wasn't expecting to hear from God that day. And so perhaps he was thinking, is this real? Is this really happening? Am I hallucinating? Have I been out in the sun for too long? Have I been with these sheep for too long? Is this really happening? Is the bush speaking to me? And he says, here I am. And then God begins to lay out his plan. Hallelujah. I am the God of your father. And in verse 7, the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Hallelujah. There's three things there that God says to Moses. The first thing he says, I have seen. The second thing he says, I have heard. The third thing he says, I am concerned. Amen? That's good to know, isn't it? It's good to know that God sees, first of all. Secondly, it's good to know that he hears when we call upon him, and it's good to know that he's concerned about every one of us. Hallelujah. The concern of God for each one. Nothing is missed. God sees all. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He can see and hear exactly where you are, what you're doing, where you're at, even though he's got 6 billion of us to watch. Hallelujah. We said last week, that takes a God to do that. Amen. That takes a God. A big, 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 big God. To be able to be intimately concerned and involved with the life of 6 billion people on the planet. And yet, the God who named the stars, and there are far, far, far more stars in the universe than there are people on this planet. And if God knows the stars by name, how much more does he know you and I? Amen. How much more concerned is he for you and for me? The Bible says God knows it when the sparrow falls. So intimately concerned with his creation is our God. And he says to Moses, I've seen what's happening in Egypt. It's not gone unnoticed. Heaven has not shut its doors. I have seen what the Egyptians are doing. I've seen the suffering of my people. I don't hold them guiltless. He says, I've heard their cries of pain, their cries of frustration, their cries from slavery. He said, I've heard it, and I'm concerned about it. And then fourthly, he says, if you go to the next verse, Pete, I have come down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is not some lofty figure on the other side of the universe somewhere who is so big and powerful and mighty that he can't come down. Praise the Lord, God came down. The Bible says that one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Made flesh, the Bible says. Made flesh. Something that was in this video, and it's so hard to describe. I'll have to find out off Pete who produced this video that we watched on Friday night, but it was just so graphic about the sufferings of Jesus and the crucifixion. It looked so real, and you just felt you were there watching this going on. And the commentator on the video said that the one who made the flesh that was hammering the nails through his bones could have it with one word, could have made that flesh just explode. And yet he allowed his very creation to abuse him, to whip him to within an inch of his life, to hammer that thorn, crown of thorns down on his head, to strip him and lay him on that cross, and then punch those nails through his arms and feet. He allowed that. The very people that he'd made, the very creation that he'd spoken from his mouth, were nailing him to a cross in such abuse. And like a sheep before her shearers is dumb, the Bible says, he didn't open his mouth. And every nasty, horrible thing that mankind has ever done was blamed on him as he hung there between heaven and earth, bleeding and dying in such agony of body and spirit. Your sin and mine, more importantly, isn't it? My sin, the things that I've done. And they're plenty, believe me. God blamed on him. And he turned away. Heaven couldn't look anymore. the very one who had created was cast out and orphaned. God couldn't look at him. And he cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Why? Because at that moment, God looked at him and turned away, because all he saw was every ill thing, every nasty, horrible thing that mankind has ever done. And he just saw it nailed to the cross. And God turned away from his own child. God turned away from his own son. Couldn't look at him. In fact, more than that, he drew a veil over the heavens. The sun was darkened. Until finally, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," because the price had been paid. Hallelujah. The sin had been dealt with. Your sin and mine had been dealt with on that cross. It is finished. And the Bible says that he gave up his spirit. He died there. The very creation that he'd made, he could have destroyed us. He had every right to destroy us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. None of us has made the mark. Not one of us can stand before a holy God and say we've never done anything wrong. Jesus took it all and took the punishment, the death that we deserved, and bore it on the cross. Amen. Your sin and mine was nailed to the cross with Jesus. God came down. Amen. God came down. And he came down to rescue us. Amen. Not just the Israelites, not just the Hebrews in those days. God came down to rescue us. Jesus became a man for us. God sent his son for us. God came down. Not as the president or the king, but as the baby in the manger. And the young man who walked the streets of Galilee and finally ended his days in Jerusalem. God came down. How can we say that God doesn't love? How can we say that God doesn't care? God cares enough to let those Roman soldiers beat him, spit on him, and plow his back open with that whip. Till the Bible says he was so disfigured you could hardly tell that he was a man anymore. And then they lead him out and lay him on that cross and do what they did and hang him there to die. The Son of God, the creator of all that he surveyed. And he did it for us, hallelujah. How can we say God doesn't care? He loves us far more than we will ever love. I think I love my wife. I think I love my kids and I love my grandkids. But God loves far more than I even think, that I can even conceive of love. God loves us far more. Hallelujah. God came down. Sometimes at Christmas we use that as a theme, don't we? Love came down. And God came and he broke in. And here we see God was about to break into the lives of the Hebrews. He was about to come down and he was about to rescue them from their oppressors. But God came down and rescued us from something even worse than Pharaoh. Amen. He came down and rescued us from a fate worse than death. He came down and rescued us from an eternity lost, cast out from the presence of God. There's no sin in heaven, hallelujah. Heaven is pure. Heaven is light. There is nothing wrong, nothing, not a nasty thought, not a selfish deed, not an ill-timed word is found in heaven. That's why we couldn't go. If we went, we'd pollute it. Amen. We'd pollute it. And that's why Christ had to come and die, and that blood was shed. And the Bible says that the blood of Christ washes us from all sins. Amen. The blood of Christ washes us from all sin. And so when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we're no longer seen in our sin. We're no longer seen in our filth. We're no longer seen in who we are, but we're seen through the blood of Christ. And God calls us righteous, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. God broke through. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Christ came at the right time. The right time. He came for all those who had been looking towards the cross. And he came for us all who were to follow after the cross. Amen. Whosoever will, the Bible says, may come. God broke through. He saw. He heard. He was concerned. So he came down. That's the God that we serve. Amen. We're not a Buddha. We're not looking at some Buddha figure sat under a tree until he got so fat that he couldn't move. We're not looking at some God in some faraway place who is so angry that he strikes down his children, his servants, if they don't do what he says. We're looking for a God who saw, heard, was concerned, and came down to change our lives. We are looking at the God whose very name is love. God is love. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The whole nature and character of God is love.